The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all from Bar Canada here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Kevin Ryan. Gil, I, too, like the NFL card this week. However, this week is setting up for the nightmare scenario where everybody loves the same picks. Pittsburgh. I'm not on Pittsburgh. Raiders. I am on the Raiders. Cardinals, Patriots, Bengals. Kind of like a beautiful, calm night on the Titanic. It might be right. By the way, he's right about the Patriots thing. I have no interest in that game, but I hear so many people talking about the Patriots-Jets game where they're like, oh, it's Belichick's last game.
I was going to say, is that the only angle that you're hearing, that it's the Belichick send-off game?
Pretty much is the crux of it.
Well, thank God they have the firepower to get it done. No problem. Because the only thing that's been holding them back all year.
The weather won't matter at all.
Yeah, the weather won't matter. The wind will only blow when they don't have the ball.
The total we're down to right now in this game,
like 31, I think.
30. Oh, it's actually 30 and a half. I'm seeing also on this.
Yeah, I mean, that's your if you want any kind of pro tip for this weekend. I mean, any of these games that you're considering, if you're looking at anything in the Northeast, make sure you're checking weather reports, because this stuff, you know, like even the Baltimore one, right? The Pittsburgh Baltimore game tomorrow, that one's changed big in the past 24 hours. Yep. That total's down to 34 and a half, 35.
But again, we talked about this. I don't know if it was a Megapod or a numbers game. I can't remember. It's like, but I was saying, you know how weather forecasts go. If that changes in any way, try to get ahead of that, because that total will bounce up if the wind dies, especially. I remember my freshman year in Boston, when the first time I heard that, I was like, oh, there's going to be a nor'easter tomorrow.
I think it's the greatest weather term. I'm trying to think if there's another one. Now, there's like a fire tornado or something that takes the cake.
Oh, I know.
There's fire tornadoes or something like that.
It's not fire tornado, but I know what you're talking about.
I haven't seen that sci-fi movie. Where's that at?
I'm like, a nor'easter. First of all, what language are y'all talking? Chili Gambler, before it's too late, I wanted to wish you and Kelly a happy new year. Enjoyed the Megapod last night, as I have all season. A nugget on Louisiana, Tuchusville. Analytics show that they have perfected the Tuchus push and have more success with it than the Eagles. That came up on the show. Don't ask me. JW pointing out, the Hamlin's no longer minus 140, which, the gentleman who wanted to hedge, he's like, oh, yeah, it's minus 275, too late for the hedge party. This is JW. Oh, no, excuse me, pardon. This is Scott Cup. He says, oh, no, those are the two gentlemen to do it. Pardon me. Scott Cup was the one who just realized it was minus 275. Jamie Leva, curious if that contraption that Matt Brown brings to the table has wheels and a handle. Just busting chops. I also kind of want it. Happy Friday, gentlemen. Yeah, Matt Brown, how would you describe, by the way, Matt Brown had to go, was it chest day, you think?
Who knows?
What is that contraption he has there? He has a screen.
Yeah, it sets him up two more monitors. So he gets two monitors. He just plugs into his computer. It seems very handy.
Yeah.
I will answer this. It seems very handy. For doing it within shows, no, I would never do it, because if you ever seen him try to set it up while he tries to like rush over here in between breaks, it's a whole process to get it all set up.
It's a Lego set.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he wishes it had wheels or whatever was in between. Yeah.
Oh, he would buy it if it did. He was talking about something off air as he was leaving here, which, you know, I don't know if you've heard this from me ever before, but Puka Nacua needs four catches and 30 yards to break both rookie records, receptions and receiving yards. The Rams playing a meaningless game against San Francisco, both meaningless for, now I shouldn't say meaningless for the Rams. Rams could be 6 or 7, but the Rams clearly don't care where they fall, 6 or 7. And the Niners, of course, the number one seed, no Brock Purdy, no Christian McCaffrey for them. The Rams are sitting everybody but Puka. So this is Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold. Clearly, and Sean McVay now is kind of on record here, right? They want to get Puka, his four catches, and his 30 yards. And so the strategery here ought to be, when the props come out, if you can find an over 3.5 and an under 4.5 and play them both kind of thing.
Is it four or under, five he needs?
He needs four, thing is he needs 30 yards, too, for the receiving yards.
Okay.
So let's say he goes 4 for 27. They're going to feed him another one, I think.
Yep.
So I would be careful. I'd go 3.5, 5.5 or something.
Yeah, you got to keep those numbers in mind.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, now, a lot of times you might see
But then he says he's going to pull him immediately.
Right, yeah. It's a comical situation. I was thinking about it on the ride in because I was listening to someone else talk about it on a podcast. But I'm like, if you're the Niners, I would love to just see the game, like the defense come out, like bracketing him in the first play. You're like, oh, this is obviously clearly the Rams. The only thing they're worried about is getting him the record. And then it's like, all right, get him out of here, reset. Or like you were talking about, or the Niners just line up off him like 10 yards.
Or they'll be like
just get out of the way.
Oh, wait, if you get four catches, you'll leave the game here. You go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Go take your four. Get out.
Oh, wait, you need 30 yards too? Okay. And pop him out of bounds right after he gets to the 30. Like the amazing thing about this is if this guy were the seventh pick in the draft, if he was a top 10 draft pick, we would not have stopped talking about him all year.
Nope.
Some of us didn't stop, but I'm just saying he would have been so hyped nationally, but he's a fifth round pick out of BYU. And so it just went under the radar. And who was it? Greeny? Mike Greenberg was screaming this morning. He goes, I'm sorry, but CJ Stroud is still the rookie of the year. I was like, hey, Greeny, relax. I didn't know you were into this subject.
Yeah. I was like, I've heard you guys bring up Puka Nacua once this year. I didn't know it was even a conversation. I mean, I think you could say the same thing probably about the defensive rookie of the year race, right? Like Jalen Carter. Okay, what happened? We saw him at the beginning of the season. He like made a couple sacks as like the part of the Eagles, you know, third down pass rush unit. We just installed him as this massive favorite.
Yeah, you can't bet it until you install it.
Got to install it. But like he's been this massive favorite all year that we haven't even thought about until like the past 2 weeks when you've had these other guys racking up some sacks, Will Anderson and Kobe Turner. And all of a sudden, they're in the conversation.
Yeah.
So my point is that he had the name, right? He had the name that you're saying if Puka had that name, he would have been up there right at the beginning.
Great point. And with defensive rookie of the year, it's so much more nebulous than offensive. Right? In the case of Puka, these are tangible records that we have spoken about in previous years.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson flirted. Jamar Chase flirted. Obviously, Jalen Waddle said it in terms of receptions. So the fact that Puka strolls in as a fifth-round pick out of BYU and is about on the cusp of breaking them both, it does, coupled with, by the way, C.J. Stroud's absence and playing poorly the week before his absence and kind of ho-hum this past week. You know, here's my question with C.J. Stroud and Puka before I get back to the defensive rookie of the year. Will Stroud and Nacua come down to as simple as this calculus, in your opinion? You put your mind, you're one of the 50 voters. If you're on the fence, which everybody seems to be.
Oh, I know exactly
where I'm going with this. Puka breaks both records.
Yep.
And the Texans lose to the Colts and miss the postseason.
I got to think real long and hard about it, Gil, and it is probably Puka Nacua.
At that point, it's Puka. However, if Puka breaks the records and the Texans make the playoffs, it's going to be Stroud.
It's CJ Stroud.
I think it's that simple now. I really do. I'm not in the heads of every one of these 50 voters, but I bet you that's what a lot of them it's going to come down to. Now, with defensive rookie of the year, I'm glad you brought that up because it's a good comparison with the Jalen Carter thing. Those records are not in our mind from previous years, right? So the way that we think about receptions and receiving yards for rookies like Jamar Chase, like Randy Moss, like Justin Jefferson in past years, we don't have an equivalent for a defensive rookie. And again, Kobe Turner did tie the rookie record for sacks. Kobe Turner tied the rookie record for sacks that Aaron Donald, his teammate, set back in 2014, which is 9. Well, this is since 2012. It's not since 2012. Let me correct myself. So last decade, the most that anybody has had is 9. But nobody knows that. Like, nobody walks around thinking about that record until someone points it out. DeForest Buckner, Chris Jones had 6. They're the closest. They're the next closest in the last decade.
I still haven't done anything with this market yet, Gil, but every time I pull up Jalen Carter's just stats,
he's done nothing.
I mean, you're talking 30 total tackles.
30. Think about that. 30 tackles.
30 tackles. Now, what's weird is all three of these guys, right? Him, Kobe Turner, and Will Anderson. You look at it, you're going to say it's basically the same thing. You're like, wait, none of these guys have like played. They barely tackled. But they all have these sack stats that kind of outweigh it, right? So it's 6 stats for Jalen Carter. But still, when's the last time? Like, I just pulled up I just pulled up a couple, like, you know, Chase Young's rookie of the year, Like, there's these guys that have won this award in the past. They've done a lot more than that. So I don't know that that's, this one's a slam dunk over with by any means. And you know, again, tip of the cap to Jason Weingarten for even making that bet early in the week. But I would think this mark is wide open with the three of those guys this week.
And you know how we talked about with MVP, like, and now we get it. Lamar Jackson's going to be the MVP. But there was a lot of weeks where we talked about, hey, could this be the award where the person who gets the most second place votes on the 1-2-3-4-5 tier system ends up winning it? What if it's actually all this time it's the defensive rookie of the year where that takes place? And if that takes place, does Devin Witherspoon become the guy with all of second place votes?
So I'm so glad you brought him up. So like he's got, what's he at, like 65-1 or something now because you've basically slotted these three guys. Well, okay, he might not have the blow your mind interception stats or anything like that, but like the guy's been an important piece to that defense all season long. Right, like he's playing, like snap in, snap out, basically for that defense.
He's 65.
This is my way of saying I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, like maybe that's the flyer play right at this moment before week 18, because it is the most vague award of them all. It feels like at the top, even though Aaron Schatz, one of the 50 voters, just one, just 2% of the whole thing, said he still thinks Jalen Carter gets it, but I don't know if everybody has Devin Witherspoon second.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great point.
Wait,
MVP is everybody put their pass rusher and then it's Witherspoon second.
Right. That's right. Let's talk some college football. The national championship is on Monday. Dr. Bob has thoughts. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every NFL or bowl game? We didn't really get that, Kelly. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. We're always improving our betting splits and recently added soccer betting splits from around the globe, like this one right here.
Nah, I don't have one queued today. I'm sorry, man. I let you down.
Oh, boy.
Scrambling with that producer thing today.
I got to do everything around here. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com/splits. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Uncle_Bush. Since Kelly loves Hedge Talk so much, I have Carolina lowest scoring team and two of most passing yards. Oh no, here we go. Do I go alt team total unders, New England Giants, Carolina, and alt pass yard overs on Dak and Goff? Oh my God, my head's exploding. Since these were bets aided and abetted by a numbers game and friends, as a fiduciary, I feel like y'all are obligated to help. My head didn't even make it through that tweet.
I wasn't even able to listen. I was having a fine conversation with Dakota.
We're going to have to take some time.
Okay.
Oh,
send it my way. Maybe I'll try to figure something out during Jason's segment.
Okay. What did you call the weather thing? What did you call it?
Like a fire tornado or something.
All right.
There's crazy weather ones.
Jay Buckley, he nailed what I was thinking of. Bomb cyclone. That's what you were thinking
of. I never even heard of that one. Yeah, I got snap called on that. We got a few tweets with bomb cyclone. I've never heard that one.
Oh, yeah. Bomb cyclone. That's what I was thinking you meant. He said weather stuff. Happy Friday, boys. Yeah, you too. Jerry Bone knows. He says, rumor has it the Patriots are dealing with the flu, multiple players and coaches. And then parentheses, he puts, if not true, this tweet never happened and will self-destruct. Sean Higgs also says bomb cyclone. Screaming A. Smith says bomb cyclone, greatest weather term ever. Blue Hen Bill says thunder snow.
Oh, thunder snow. I've heard that one.
That's
before.
The one. Yeah. How about this one?
I'm right. There's a fire tornado. It's called a fire whirl.
Shay H. says this one. He goes, and he's showing me a report from Lincoln, Nebraska, where they say it appears we will be dry slotted here in Lincoln, Nebraska. This will drastically reduce our snowfall totals. Shay says dry slotted has made me laugh for over 10 years.
I don't even understand what that means.
Apparently they're not getting slow. They're dry slotted. So there's
like
snow surrounding
no
them.
Snow?
Snow. We're dry slotted.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's how I took it. I'm just making that up. Steven at Brosec 1870 says, I listened to the Megapod for the first time and can't believe Kelly got forgotten in the first 5 minutes. You know what it was? we said that Brad Feinberg was the first-time guest of the year. And I was like, oh, no, Kelly was last week. Eddie Vegan Runner, Witherspoon, 70-1 at DK. 70-1. And Sports Savant, VSiN's official place kicker, Matt Brown, uses a, what is that, a Zebec monitor attachment? Get that man a sponsorship. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not, but there
sponsor.
You go. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a pioneer in sports prediction, using predictive algorithms, modeling, to get to his results. He did it for the first time when he was a student at Cal years ago. He graces us with his presence now from somewhere outside of Denver, Colorado. It's the great Dr. Bob. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Did we wake you up? We apologize if we did.
Yeah, I'm a bit under the weather, so I got up early for my college basketball release, which is really early. And then I'm like, I'm going to go back to bed. And then I had my ringer off or something. So I just, my wife came screaming, and you're on the radio. And,
we heard her voice. Please tell her what's up. By the way, did you want to share a college basketball play with us that you released?
No, I didn't have any.
Oh, you didn't.
I had to get up early to send out a message saying no plays today.
Oh, wow. Always working, even when there's nothing to work on. All right, well, let me ask you about this before we get to your thoughts on the national championship. So week 18, like, you don't like anything this week? You're staying away from it?
No, I have a few plays. I took Atlanta earlier in the week when they were +3.5. A small play on Atlanta. Just situationally good spot for them. New Orleans coming off an upset win. Atlanta coming. I don't bet a lot of games based on situations, but this is kind of the highest rated kind of situational play, and those have done really well over the years. So I did a small play on Atlanta, and that's it.
Okay. All right.
I might have a couple other plays, smaller, strong opinions or something later in the week, but not much.
Let's talk about the national championship. Michigan, 4.5-point favorite against Washington on Monday night from Houston, Texas. What are your thoughts here?
Well, this is just a case of, people were sort of downplaying Washington and, they just win a lot of close games and et cetera, et cetera. But, a big part of that team was missing for most of the year. Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver, was maybe considered the best of the wide receivers coming into the season. The first 3 weeks of the season, Washington was averaging over 9 yards per play. I mean, it's just ridiculous. McMillan gets hurt, so he's out from week 4 through 12. He played a couple times, tried to play a couple times, had a couple of targets, one in one game, one in another game, and he just wasn't able to go. He kind of came back not quite fully healthy against Washington State and had like 5 bubble screens thrown to him and didn't work out. But then he was fully healthy against Oregon, and he had, I think, 13 targets, 11 catches, 130-something yards. And now you've got a problem for defenses because now you've got 3 NFL caliber receivers on a college team at the same time, and you can't cover all of them. And Oregon, Penix was great against Oregon. You saw him against Texas, great again. And when you have all these 3 great receivers, it just makes it impossible to double team anybody. And the 4th receiver, Jeremy Bernard, is actually good too. I mean, he averages 10 yards a target. And what it did is we get the 5th receiver, his name is Giles Jackson. He played a lot when McMillan was out. He only averaged 5.3 yards per target. So now you get a guy who's not productive at all, not even in the rotation anymore. You got 3 NFL caliber receivers, a 4th receiver that's really good. And now you have a full arsenal of receivers that cannot be covered. I don't care how good your defense is. Texas has a very good defense, and they could not. Even when they even when Texas had the receivers covered, Michael Penix is so accurate with the deep ball.
Amazing.
He was throwing balls over the helmet of receivers into the arms of, over the helmet of defenders into the arms of his receivers. When a guy is that accurate, and he was the most accurate deep ball thrower in the country this year, when someone's that accurate, it almost doesn't matter how good the defense is, how tightly those receivers are covered. He's going to drop it in there. And you saw multiple passes against Texas, where he's just dropping dimes, just perfectly thrown passes down the field to his receivers. So if they are covered, they can still get beat, and it's hard to cover all 3 of them. Alabama's got a good pass game, but here's the difference. You saw Michigan's pass rush against Alabama, and they sacked Milrow 6 times. But sacking Milrow is completely different than getting to Penix. Milroe gave a 44 sacks, and he got sacked 44 times in the season. So he gets sacked a lot to begin with. Well, Washington's offensive line won the Joe Moore Award, the best offensive line in the country award. Penix has only been sacked 10 times the entire season. So if you're expecting to get to Penix, you're not. I mean, the most times he was sacked in any one game was two. You might get two sacks. Michigan might get two sacks. But it's not going to be like the Alabama game where they're just in the backfield all night. So if Penix has time to throw, which he always has, and he's got three great receivers, I just think it's going to be one of those games where maybe you won't be able to run, but they don't care. Throw the ball more. That Washington, if Washington throws the ball more, they're even more dangerous. So I think Washington's offense is going to do just fine in this game. And on the other side of the coin, you got Washington. I hear a lot about Washington's pass defense. I heard on the broadcast, well, they ranked 117th in pass defense this year. We had yards allowed, but teams threw it 42 pass attempts per game against Washington because they were always down. You know, and you think about how many times teams have to throw against Washington and how many of those guys were elite quarterbacks in the Pac-12 throwing against Washington. When you look at Washington and compensate their pass defense, yards per pass play, by who they faced, they're actually a very good pass defense, about 1.3 yards per pass play better than an average pass defense. So Washington has a very strong pass defense. The run defense is only 0.4 yards per running play better than average. So that is their weakness. And that sort of helps them here because Michigan will say, well, we'll just run the ball. Well, great, run the ball. I mean, I don't think you're going to beat Washington by just running the ball. And people get all fired up about Michigan's run game. Oh, those guys are so good, and Corum and Edwards. If you looked at their stats, Corum and Edwards combined averaged 4.3 yards per run for the season. 4.3. That's not good. So, fine, run the ball. An average of 4.3 yards per run. Michigan's going to have to throw it more. And if they do throw it more, I think they'll have some success doing that because McCarthy's underrated. He doesn't have to throw, but when he does, he's very efficient. But if they stick to this run, we're just going to run because that's what we do, Washington might win this game straight up. When it comes down to it, I have Michigan by 1.5 points, total of 55.5. So I have a lean. I'm not betting the game. I have a lean with Washington plus.
Yeah, but I think there's
would be surprised.
Would be surprised if they won it outright. Yeah,
right.
It's I think a lot of people are going to hear that and be very swayed by what you said. And that's such a great point about conventional stats that are thrown out on a mainstream broadcast versus what is actual truth, what is actual skill set. Bob, thank you so much. You can go back taking a nap now. Thank you.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Dr. Bob at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. Jason Weingart next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they'll get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. Download the app, use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we get tweets at Beating the Books. Steven, oh no, I read that one. Jeffrey R. at LL Wave Rider. Kelly, it's January 5th. Why is VSiN still showing holiday special TV ads? Kelly's in charge of all that stuff.
I was going to say, there's only certain things I have control over, okay?
This is for Steven. This is from Brosek 1877. For contest, I have a rule that I have to take points in at least two games of the five. I love betting teams to cover. Went from dead last 2 years ago to second place last year with that strategy. Currently 58%, was as high as 66% before this quarter. That's the luck. It's pretty good strategy. I like that. Ed, underdoggy one. Gil, love the jacket. Got the same one for Christmas. Go Pack, go. Deborah Song fashion style collection.
There you go.
Martel J, I have an 80-1 ticket for the Rams to win the NFC, risking $200. My father-in-law grabbed it for me while in Las Vegas for the rodeo, while other books were 50-1 and lower. Now I can't find it. We have pictures. Can we start the ticket claim before end of event? Yes, you can. Here's the thing. As long as you have a picture of it and you know exactly when, which you do based on the ticket, and you know exactly when you got it, for what amount of money, for the odds, all that stuff. But in terms of like the actual time and place you got it, which we will not talk about on air, you can go to that book and they typically will honor it with that because they'll be able to call it up at that point. But good that you took a picture of it. Tony Stossel says one more thing. He says bombogenesis for weather term. I have no idea what that is. And then Incognito Better said he found 100-1 on Witherspoon.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, Gil and I are kicking around thoughts here.
Just thoughts.
That's all it is, but
that's the scenario. He gets all the second place votes.
I think that award is far from wrapped up.
And Adam Schefter is reporting that DeMar Hamlin, the Week 18 NFLPA Community MVP, after he distributed more than 2,000 toys, 50 bikes, and hundreds of books to 750 Pennsylvania kids at his fourth annual holiday toy drive. And Colin Murphy tweets in, he says, Hamlin's politicking for it now.
It's so bad. I pulled up that tweet. It's so bad how many replies are just comeback player of the year.
Now the voters really won't want to be the guy not to vote for him. It was a good run, Flacco. That's great. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Weingarten joins us. He may have been personally responsible for getting Kobe Turner down this low for defensive rookie of the year. Pardon me. He comes to us from a cloud of smoke at Spreadapedia in Southern Cali. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. It probably wasn't totally me. I just got it listed. I made one bet, maybe two bets.
Well, you got it listed and made one.
You're talking about the missing ticket thing. It's a good thing. It's at a Vegas sports book and they can pull it up, because if it's a post office, man, they would not want to help you trying to find that. Like,
here we go.
That means I had that, and it was an experience.
Would you like to share that experience? Would you like?
No, I already did. We're over it. We're beyond.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
We're on to Bill Belichick's thing. We're on to other things.
When VSiN +++ starts, the Jason stories are going to be fun.
When the hell does the reality TV show start? I mean, come on. Like, this is...
I don't even know. Remember, I told you the story about my most recent mail.
Yes. Yes. There's a mail mishap one that cannot be shared on air, which is just spectacular for Jason. It's just... It can only happen to him. It's incredible.
And then the other thing about the promos, and they're saying, well, Kelly's in charge of that. I love when people, because it happens to me occasionally, and they're like, hey, I heard this thing on another show on VSiN. And I'm like, well, you know, VSiN's not like a set of cubicles where we're all sitting next to each other. Like, I've never met half of these people. I'm not the complaints department. I don't know what you want me to do. You know, like, I get this occasionally out of it.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you get it is amazing.
I'm like, what do you think? I can walk into the cubicle next to me and say, hey, man, like, this guy wants this fixed on Twitter. Well,
people think you got that kind of juice. You got Kobe Turner up in the market, so they think you got, you know, that kind of power. All right.
You're saying Witherspoon is, you got some Devon Witherspoon. What's this I hear?
Well, so here's the theory. The theory is, and Kelly and I just, we were talking, and when we get to talking.
A theory that Gil and I have thought about for a long time, a total of like 14 minutes now.
Minutes? Like, we came up with it in 14 seconds, which was, because we're throwing around, Kelly brought up defensive rookie of the year. Because we were talking about Puka, he needs 4-30, and then Sean McVay is going to get him his 4-30. He's going to go out, and then it's probably going to be, hey, did Houston get to the playoffs? If they didn't, and Puka gets his rewards, maybe that's the difference. Maybe that's all it's going to come down to for some voters. Like, oh, that happened, so Puka wins. But if Houston gets in, it doesn't matter if Puka gets the records. And then Kelly brought up defensive player of the year, and we sort of batted it, defensive rookie of the year, pardon me. We batted it around, and I just sort of... You know, because I had been saying at some point, now we know Lamar Jackson's winning MVP, but I had said at some point with, you know, maybe the person who gets the most second place votes, because it was so splintered at one point, is going to weasel their way into winning the award because it's a point system. But maybe all of this time, the real award that's going to have that happen is Defensive Rookie of the Year. And if that's the case... Maybe it's your pass rusher of choice at number one, and then it's Devon Witherspoon all over the place at number two. That's the theory, anyway. And your reaction to that?
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah,
we didn't talk about it last time I was on, but I know we talked about it last year. One of the things to keep in mind on some of these awards, more so the, you know, non-MVP awards, is the vote distribution.
Yes.
We talked about this for Comeback Player of the Year. Some years, guys win with 12 first place votes. Sometimes they win with 25. You know, it's a huge range. So you're not wrong. I don't know who's, you know, I've thought about this myself. Why is Carter still the favorite? Is he
no one knows.
Favorite just because?
Just because.
No one cares?
Like, yeah.
I don't think there's really consensus. I think Will Anderson's got a good case. I think Turner's got a case. Witherspoon, I don't know. You're selling me. I like long shots this late in the season. I think there's an upset somewhere. I think Stefanski could not necessarily win. D'Amico Ryans, like when you look at what they've done in Texas, like I don't think we're talking about that enough, especially where they were.
I agree.
Seasons and two before this year and the turnaround. You know, I'm pretty impressed with that. And then obviously Sean McVay not getting a lot of credit for, you know, what the Rams have done this year. You know, the Rams have four rookie starters, like I mentioned. They're going to get some love somewhere in the rookie of the years, but front office coach of the year, that's some big stuff they did. It's pretty impressive to be in this position.
What was the Texans pre-flop season win total? Wasn't it like 3.5 or something like that?
Something like that.
So, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And typically, and again, the Browns, the whole starting four quarterbacks, now five quarterbacks, very impressive. They take nothing away from them. I just think what D'Amico Ryans has come in and done as a first year head coach in an organization that has just been completely, you know, dead, and how he's turned it around so quickly deserves, you know, better than 9-1 going into the last weekend in a primetime game.
4.5 to clarify for the Houston Texans pre-flop season win total. I mean, you make the postseason. It's an expectations thing for some. It's going to be for a lot of voters.
It really is. If you look at it historically, it's teams that not necessarily beat their win total, but teams that outplay their expectations significantly. The Browns have done that too, but you know, I think Texans very live for some award, whether it's defensive rookie of the year. It's similar situation to the Rams. You know they're going to win something, but you don't know what.
Remind folks who what you bet for week 18. Did you bet anything?
Titans, I bet 5. I think you get 5.5 now. Vrabel on the record saying that losing sucks and
that's right,
they're not going to go out losing. And I laid money line with the 49ers. I got 160, 165, up to 170. Now it's minus 200. But this is a weird game because at this point, like, you know, this is a potential playoff rematch. Neither side's going to show anything but the most vanilla offenses.
I think Kyle Shanahan even used the word vanilla, didn't he? Or he said,
did he? I was just assuming, you know, that's, but again, that's good to hear that, you know, right on with that. But, you know, they're not going to show anything this week. And then you're getting Carson Wentz, Darnold. Like, I don't know what to expect. I might still bet some over here. Try not to go too crazy on week 18, but I will play the spots when I see them. But yeah, I don't know what to expect with this game now. What do you think?
With the Rams or the Niners? Well, I'll give you the Kyle Shanahan quote. He did say, he did use the word vanilla. He said, expect a vanilla game plan in this ball game. So yeah.
Which is fine by me. But again, that doesn't mean they're not going to score points either.
No.
41, little low.
I'm not touching this game. They're going to get, you know, Puka's going to get his catches and his yards. He's going to move on from that. I want no part of it. Darnold, Wentz, catch the fever.
I'll be watching it.
Okay.
I'll be watching the whole game.
Real quick, before you go, because we only have 20 seconds, Dr. Bob just gave a passionate speech for why he likes UW in the national championship. You?
Well, I got to see Michigan up close, and they were monsters on both sides of the lines, and I think that could be the difference here, but my brother and my father and my grandfather, both of them went to the University of Washington, so far be it for me here to say go Michigan. Washington's going to win.
All right. They are
your national championship.
Thank you, Jason.
I will see you next week.
See ya.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99. at vsin.com/subscribe. Do you know what happened there?
Did you just hear what I just said?
No, what'd you say?
I said, I was talking to Matt. I'm like, he might have thought the show was over.
I 100% thought the show was over. Kelly, here's what happened off the break.
Oh my God, it's hysterical.
I said,
you've never done that before.
First time that's ever happened, by the way. I thought the show was over. The reason is because I got into this conversation with Kelly. We'll just pull back the curtain here. It's the first time in like 2,500 shows.
You're scrambling for that read, and among cops and the crew, I'm like, there's a chance he thought the show was over. And Gil like darts eyes at me. I'm like, oh yeah, he did.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because Kelly and I got this conversation because as a Christmas gift to the whole crew, I promised everybody $100 each to make whatever future bet they want.
Yes.
And so I made this promise.
And we definitely didn't forget about it.
And then this morning, I'm in the shower. I'm like, I should probably follow up on this with everybody. So as we got to talking about this, we were making the list of all the people who have been so helpful on this show. By the way, can we give them a shout out?
Absolutely.
Matt, Reggie, Roberta Moreno, Dakota, Ryan, Steven, who helps on the podcast, Steven Young, Wyatt, Sean, Isaiah, Larry. So everybody's got a $100 futures bet, and I got so into it that I kind of forgot where I was. So.
I should have just opened up my mic. Like, if you could have that full audio, I'm like, there's a chance he thought the show was over.
That's the first time that's ever happened. Well, there you go. You know who hasn't given a pick today, by the way? You know who hasn't given an NFL pick?
Oh, my God.
This guy right here, Kalei Bidelon.
Yep, that is true. That is true. We'll run through all of them again. I'm sitting here laughing. This is absolutely my fault as a producer. You should never have your host going into the next segment not knowing there's a segment. But Gil usually takes care of himself so well. I don't really think about stuff like that. Oh, my God. It just threw me off so much. I've only made one so far, Gil.
Oh, wow.
I'm on the Bears with you and Matt. That's the only thing I've bet so far. I actually did the exact same thing you did. When that number first came out and then it started to drop, I bought the
hook. As soon as the juice fell, I went there. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
like,
what I did.
Mine's right around the same thing as yours. It's like +3.5 and -130 or something like that. But, yeah, I like that one. And then I've gotten a couple tweets about this. I should be clear. The only thing I am doing with that Jacksonville one is I will be taking a piece of Tennessee +3.5. I'm kind of waiting to see where that number settles at though today when we get this, you know, another Jacksonville injury report. Heard Matt talking about it earlier though. There's questions about what all Trevor Lawrence can do. I think he's going to go. We did get, let's see, I saw this just about 15 minutes ago for an ESPN report. Doug Peterson saying still this morning, he is day-to-day. It could be a game-time decision on Trevor Lawrence. So I imagine today at some point.
Can you imagine?
Can't let this drop to 3, right? So yeah. I will take a piece at +3.5 or +4. I'm just kind of waiting a little bit here today to see where this goes. Just, I did get scared a little bit yesterday when this number jumped from, it went from like 4.5, 5 down to 3.5. Definitely don't want to miss it going past 3. So I'll be taking a small piece of the Titans there at +3.5, +4. But it's really not a play. It's just to cover up what my futures position is with the Jaguars. The other one I saw in that report is, you know, Christian Kirk. He did get activated off IR. He's back, but they're basically saying the same thing about him. Going to be completely almost, you know, game time decision is very questionable.
We just assumed he was going to play.
Right. Yeah. We assume, and apparently the reports are, you know, like the speed's there. It's just not, he's not really in full football shape yet. I think back to game shape. So there's some questions about that, but yeah, that's all I've got for week 18. Not a lot for me. I think this is a week where like, I don't look, if you've got strong conviction and you've got an angle, you ever got an angle, you bet the angle. This is a week I feel like every year, and I feel like I've seen it more this year than in past years, Gil, of like people talking themselves into plays this week when it's just, you don't need to do it. We'll be right back again next week with wild card weekend with some big football games to bet. If you don't see an edge one way or the other, you don't need to force anything just because football's on. And I feel like I've heard so many people talking themselves into bets this week.
I'm just telling you what my reactions were on Monday guessing lines, and I had 4 of them. So, I mean, I never anticipate, right? We've had weeks where I've had none during the regular season, or 1 maybe. The Jags from 8-3 to 8-7, then they get the Panthers, so they win that game, right? They go 9-7 last week. But the fact that they still They still control their own destiny. They win and they win the division. They're the four seed. They lose. There's still a scenario where they can get in, by the way.
That's gonna be the grossest, by the way.
If you get in and win your bet. Yeah. By the way, that scenario, and again, every one of these teams has the scenarios. May I recommend also that the New York Times has this great interactive thing where you can figure out what teams' percentage chances are by clicking, you know, the results of games, and they come up with a percentage. That's cool. But the Jaguars, if they lose this, they could also make it as a number 7 seed with a loss. If the Ravens beat the Steelers tomorrow and the Raiders beat the Broncos, again, the Raiders and Broncos doesn't mean anything to those two teams, but it could mean something to the Jaguars if the Jaguars lose. So there's that.
I don't know how you feel. I mean, look, the Jags have been a mess, but like, yes, a lot of it has been injury based. You know, they're like, we keep bringing up the Bills, like, oh man, if you got a chance to get the Bills out, if you're like, we've talked about that tomorrow's game, even with the Ravens Steelers, we brought it up with Matt of, you know, hey, if Ravens, if you do lose, like that, there is a good side of that. And that means the Bills have a chance of not making it in. I'd still rather see a team like the Colts or the Steelers than the Jaguars do.
Who is the, you know, we play this game a lot. Who is the court? We talk about which quarterbacks you trust. Do you trust Trevor Lawrence in the postseason? Do you trust, like, who do you trust the least of all potential postseason quarterbacks?
I guess that's where I'm getting at. Yes, I do. I do trust him more than some of these other guys. Like, I would much rather face Minshew and the Colts than the Jaguars, even if they are banged.
But I guess I'm getting at, what? How long is that list? You'd in the AFC, more than Minshew, more than who else?
I don't know. Because the toughest one right now is like, wait, all right, starting it, you got a game tomorrow. Would you rather have Stroud or Lawrence? You're going with Stroud. You're going with Stroud right now.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I'm not putting
Lawrence over.
We got Joe Flacco.
Well, maybe Flacco.
I don't know if I can see that right now.
Yes, maybe Flacco. Like,
if I'm playing a game tomorrow, I'm going with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, it's got to come at some point, right? The Flacco bad game. Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be the Miami Heat of last year for me. If it doesn't happen, Gil, and the Browns win a damn Super Bowl, I bet you I will have lost a lot of money during the playoffs.
As I'm asking that question, am I anticipating what a listener is thinking in their heads? And I'm thinking there's some people out there who are like, Tua, some people will still have that as an answer. I don't feel that way, but I think that's the only other person you could trust less. I mean, beyond Mason Rudolph, right?
You're right. There are probably people out there saying that still.
I don't believe it.
Just like, come on, man.
Because it ain't Lamar and it ain't Mahomes. Right. It's not Josh Allen, although some people might say Josh Allen, too. But for me, Lawrence is way lower on that list than I think you would immediately think on instinct. Because I would only put Mason Rudolph below him and Minshew. That's it. Maybe Flacco.
By the way, speaking of Steelers quarterback situation, I feel like that's not something that's been talked about as much as it should be. Like, what's the future of this of the Steelers and Kenny Pickett if he's being he's being benched in favor of Mason Rudolph?
Think about, like, and the fact that Tomlin decided to go with him. And now, I mean, now he's obviously sticking with Mason Rudolph. When you had the Pickett and Trubisky experience, no one ever talked about Mason Rudolph. Right. So Tomlin deserves credit for that.
AKA because Luca Garza.
Luca Garza, that's right.
I can't get over
Kelly
that.
Has never seen Luca Garza and Mason Rudolph in the same place.
Just saying.
And then the contrast to that is how Kevin O'Connell handled the Minnesota, by the way, still mathematically alive for a postseason here as well. How Kevin O'Connell handled the post Kirk Cousins thing, which is Josh Dobbs, you won us a game that even Kirk Cousins probably wouldn't have won. Oh, and now you suck. So I never want to talk to you again. And now he's in this Mullins Hall spin cycle of nothingness where they never win. You know,
that one, for whatever reason, that situation makes more sense to me just based off the pieces. Like, so are we just assuming Pittsburgh's just rolling into next year with, like, Kenny Pickett's going to be the starter and we're all cool?
I don't think
we're
so.
All cool with this?
Oh, no, I don't think so at all.
Okay.
I don't think so at all. By the way, that storm of Jason Weingarten post office tweets, which are just hilarious. I couldn't get to all of them. I couldn't get to them, but there's at least 5 to 10.
The one I got to keep remembering is, yeah, we got to be careful because we've got half the post office in the United States listens to the show. So
it is our clearest barometer of the tens of millions of people who listen to this radio program is that we have the entire post office.
8% of the USPS listens.
Amazing. We love you, post office people. Don't listen to Jason. We love you guys. We've done all we can do. Good luck with all your Week 18 bets in the NFL. Best Bets is next. Enjoy. From Visa, the Sports Betting Network.